This is Taking Aim with
Rob Schoenman
and Maya Schoen, coming to you Tuesday, April 6th, 2004. We reported that the Department of Defense processed $1.1 trillion in unsupported accounting entries to the DOD component financial data used to prepare departmental reports and DOD financial statements for fiscal year 2000. Those are the shocking words of David K. Steensma, the Acting Assistant Inspector General for Auditing for the Department of Defense, and he made that statement February 26, 2002. It was, however, not the first nor the last report from the Office of the Inspector General or from the General Accounting Office. Reports that showed that the Department of Defense and most every other department of the United States government was cooking the books. Today on Taking Aim, Cooking the Books, Fraud and the Garrison State. Let's look at some of the statements from the Inspector General that go back to 1998, when in fact they reported undocumented, unsupported entries in the financial statements of the Department of Defense of $1.7 trillion. The Inspector General said, quote, "Final statements were more untimely than ever, and a record $1.7 trillion of unsupported adjustments were made in preparing the statements." Then, in 1999, the figure increased to $2.3 trillion, and they stated that accounting entries of $2.3 trillion were made to force financial data to agree with various sources of other financial data without adequate research and reconciliation. Then, in the next year, they noted, of the $4.4 trillion in department-level accounting entries, $2.8 trillion were unsupported with proper research, reconciliation, and audit trails. And then 2001, at that point, they didn't even disclose the amount of the financial irregularities. And the auditor stated, quote, "We did not obtain sufficient competent evidentiary matter to support the material line items on the financial statements. The scope of our work was not sufficient to enable us to express, and we do not express, an opinion on these financial statements." And the next year, 2002, they stated again, the Department of Defense financial management and feeder systems, meaning the subsidiary departments, cannot currently provide adequate evidence to support various material amounts on the financial statements. Therefore, we did not perform auditing procedures to support material amounts on the financial statements. No matter how you put it, even in this benign language, what the independent auditor is reporting, fraud. Fraud at the deepest levels. Fraud not in tens of thousands. Fraud not in tens of millions. Fraud not even in tens of billions. But fraud in multi-trillion dollar levels. Ralph?
The description of this process by all of the high-level functionaries involved, and specific to the task of the Government Accounting Office and of the Independent Auditor's Report, as you've been citing, is numbing. Now, people have been sometimes confused by the fact that they can be citing trillions of dollars of fraud and of failure to comply with the most elementary accounting procedures when the budget is not that large for a given particular year, half trillion dollars, $500 billion, a large annual budget, but what we're addressing here is the accumulation of inventory and of the holdover of vast sums over the decades that translate into the holdings of the Department of Defense, which are represented fraudulently with vast accumulated sums concealed. Here is how it's described in the auditor's report of the Department of Defense for 2001. The Department of Defense processed $1.1 trillion in wholly unsupported accounting entries to the Department of Defense. The component financial data used to prepare these reports and the Department of Defense financial statements for the year 2000. For 2001, we could not even attempt to quantify the amounts of unsupported accounting entries, and we confirmed that the Department of Defense continues to enter material amounts of wholly unsupported accounting entries to the financial data. And the report continues, the General Accounting Office standards for internal control in the federal government for November 1999 states that all our control activities should include reconciliations. However, during the compilation of the Department of Defense component financial data, the Defense Finance and Accounting Services processed material amounts of accounting entries to force general ledger accounting data to agree with budgeting accounting data without any attempt to reconcile differences between the two data sources or to determine what data source is correct. There is no way to describe this bureaucratic language other than to say that they are stating that there is wholesale and continuous deceit and fraud in the representation of these vast sums. And the report continues. The Department of Defense did not resolve financial and accounting inconsistencies or report accurately any fund balances with the Treasury in accordance with statements of federal financial accounting standards. We identified, and he proceeds to identify the concrete examples. And he gives one instance, $17.3 billion in total inconsistency affecting the accuracy of balances with the Treasury, September 30th, 2000. These differences include $12.4 billion of disbursement disparities, in-transit disbursements, unmatched disbursements, negative unliquidated obligations, $3.6 billion unreconciled differences between the U.S. Treasury records and Department of Defense disbursing station records for deposits, interagency transfers, checks issued, unreconciled suspense account balances. And then it concludes. These unmatched disturbances occur when the accountable station cannot in any respect match the disbursements to the correct detail obligation. Negative, unliquidated obligations occur because the disbursement exceeds the amount of recorded unliquidated obligations. By any criterion, by any standard of measurement of what are resources, how they are used, and how they are justified, and how they are accounted for, there is no paper trail. They are making it up as they go along. Total, unquestionable fraud.
How did they do it? The U.S. Constitution states specifically that the U.S. government is supposed to make financial reports to the public. But it was only in 1997 with the Chief Financial Officers Act that was amended to require the 24 major federal agencies to prepare annual audited financial statements by March 1st, following the end of the government's fiscal year on September 30th. And the General Accounting Office, headed by the Comptroller General, audits these reports. At first, the government agencies didn't even get their reports in on time, months and months late. Finally, many of them, in fact, finally, eventually all of the agencies, got their statements filed by March 1st. Imagine if this happened to you or me in relationship to the April 15th deadline for taxes. Now, only three of the agencies, of the 24 major federal agencies, was able to compile an actual audit. And these were the Department of Energy, the National Aeronautics and Space Administration, NASA, and the Small Business Administration, not the very large departments. Two of the departments got Fs. Fs failing grades, not even acceptable in any way, shape, or form financial statements, and in fact, large amounts of money for which they were unable to account. And that was, these were the Department of Defense and the Department of Agriculture. And this has been happening consistently. As we are going to point out in this show, this is systemic and it is part of the fraud of the Garrison State, the gangster state, and how many of the operations of the Department of Defense and the intelligence agencies are funded. If you look at the U.S. budget of last year, $420.7 billion, this is the same amount of money as the next 22 largest defense budgets around the world combined. That is, the United States military budget is comparable to China, Russia, Japan, United Kingdom, France, Germany, Italy, Saudi Arabia, India, South Korea, Israel, Australia, Brazil, Turkey, Canada, Spain, the Netherlands, Taiwan, Greece, Mexico, Sweden, Iran, and Iran. And in Iran, the budget was only $5.1 billion. And China, which has the largest spending after the United States, is $51 billion. So combining all these countries, 22, you have to combine them all to get to the United States with the $420.7 billion annually. Yet the United States cannot account for where trillions and trillions of the inventory that is spent over the years, the weaponry, the contracts that are dispersed, where this money is going.
And that's because the money is being shunted into places that are not disclosed, whether into pockets offshore banks or into covert operations or into other clandestine functions of the authorities. A variety of examples of fraud. Look at the commentary of Robert J. Lieberman, Deputy Inspector General of the Department of Defense, before the Subcommittee on Government Efficiency, Financial Management, and Intergovernmental Relations. This is report number D-2001-120, delivered on May 8, 2001, and here's what Lieberman states. He says, for the Department of Defense as a whole, but also for 10 subsidiary reporting entities, including the Army, the Navy, and the Air Force, general funds cannot overcome the impediments caused by systems that have unreliable documentation of transactions and assets. We cannot issue a clean audit opinion. Disclaimers are necessary for all major funds, including the Department of Defense-wide consolidated statements. Examples of the problems in the year-end statements follow. Department-level accounting adjustment entries used to compile the financial statements were $4.4 trillion, and of this unsupported documentation, $1.4 trillion has no explanatory model or audit trail. The report of Lieberman continues. For the financial year 1999, $7.6 trillion of adjustments were required, $2.3 trillion wholly unsupported, a good indication of the wholesale condition of the final data reporting system, he states. Just weigh these words and consider their import. Bland as they may appear, what we are listening to here is an official, on-the-record, government accounting agency documentation of wholesale looting and fraud. However the books may be cooked, what it amounts to is the inability to translate into data, paper trail, documentation, receipts, the most elementary indices of financial accountability for vast and overriding sums that define the functioning of the Garrison State itself.
Now let's look at some of the other presentations at this May 8, 2001 committee, subcommittee on government efficiency, which is a subcommittee of the Committee on Government Reform of the House of Representatives, because it was pointed out that the Department of Defense in this year, 2001, that, which we're talking, had a budget of $397 billion, which was 16% of the federal government's total spending at that time of $2 trillion. And the annual spending in for the fiscal year 2000, because they're reviewing the year before. And of this, remember that even though it's 16% of the federal government's total spending, the Department of Defense budget is over 50% of the discretionary funding, the other non-discretionary funding being Social Security, Medicare, Medicaid. So the Department of Defense, it was noted in this committee, controls an estimated $1 trillion in weapons systems and inventory. In fact, the inventory of the Department of Defense is 75% of the government's total inventory in any fiscal year. Notice that 75% of the government inventory of what it is purchasing is the Department of Defense. Now, the representative Janice D. Sikowski of Illinois, who's on this committee, pointed out that the General Accounting Office has designated the financial management, quote, the financial management systems at DOD as high risk because they're vulnerable to waste, fraud, and abuse. This is a vast understatement. She noted DOD cannot reconcile payments to its contractors reliably. And in fact, endemic in the Department of Defense is overpayment. Overpayment. Instead of having a bill collection agency, the Department of Defense has to keep on finding out how many bills it is overpaying. Overpaying to Lockheed, to Boeing, to all its all the cronies. In fact, the relationship between the Pentagon and Congress is called the Iron Triangle, a very close buddy system.
Maya, one of the critical elements of the Iron Triangle, as you had been indicating earlier when we were discussing this issue, is that the actual software for accounting procedures is under the control of the conglomerate such as Lockheed itself. So Lockheed is the provider of the software on the basis of which its own contracts are supposed to be monitored. It is a very clear, nepotistic, and self-serving, fraudulent undertaking. And this is how David Steensma described the process. And David Steensma is the Undersecretary of Defense Controller. And he's the independent auditor's report that he provided had the following statement. We cannot obtain sufficient, competent, evidential matter to support a material line item on these financial statements. The Undersecretary of Defense acknowledged that Department of Defense financial management and feeder systems do not provide evidence supporting material amounts on financial statements. Management further acknowledges that the Department of Defense is unable to comply with any requirement for property, plant, and equipment, inventory, operating materials and supplies, military retirement health care actuarial liability, intra-governmental eliminations, accounting procedures, cost accounting by sub-organization, segment, major programs, and environmental liabilities. It is not practicable to extend our auditing procedures to support any conclusions for these items related to the consolidated financial statements. And then he adds, the Undersecretary of Defense Controller acknowledges that Department of Defense financial management systems do not comply with any federal financial system requirements. Federal accounting standards and the United States government standard general ledger at the transaction level and prior audits support these conclusions. The Department of Defense does not comply with provisions of the Government Performance and Results Act, the Prompt Pay Act, all of the legislated and legal obligations of this vast system of looting.
Ralph, we should point out that the Undersecretary of Defense, the controller, is Dov Zakim. Dov Zakim, who is one of the authors of Rebuilding America's Defenses, the notorious PNAC document that establishes the need for a new Pearl Harbor as the catalyst for defense spending, and also that elaborates the importance of having over $4 trillion of new purchases by the Pentagon in order to establish the hegemony and maintain the hegemony of the United States over its domination of countries throughout and peoples throughout the world.
Well, it's let me mention, I'm glad you brought that up, because on March 10th, 2004, Reuters carried the following story. Pentagon finance manager resigns. And this is what it says. The former adjunct economics professor at New York's Yeshiva University, Rabbi Zakheim, who spent more than 30 years in various jobs at the Pentagon, worked in private industry specifically as a chief consultant to McDonnell Douglas and Boeing, a conservative Republican who graduated from Jews College London in 1973. He joined the Department of Defense in 1981 under former President Reagan and was responsible for such tasks as preparing planning guidance for nuclear war. As the Pentagon, the rabbi was the senior foreign policy advisor to Governor George Bush during the 2000 presidential campaign. As Pentagon controller and chief financial officer, Rabbi Zakheim's priority has been financial management. And the study by the Defense Department's Inspector General concluded that the Pentagon could not account, Reuters continues, for more than $1 trillion in monies spent. The General Accounting Office report found on the Zakheim that defense inventory systems were so lax that the United States lost track of its airplanes, tanks, and Javelin missile command launch units, etc. So the figure who is in nominal charge of this, and obviously the ideologue who is running the operation, resigns with this track record, and the beat goes on.
Ralph, May 22, 2003, an article by Julian Borger in The Guardian, so much for the peace dividend, Pentagon is winning the battle for a $400 billion budget, discusses in detail the Iron Triangle, the relationship between the military-industrial complex, Congress, and the Pentagon. And they note, James Roche, the outgoing Air Force Secretary, now taking over the Army, is a former president of Northrop Grumman. His assistant secretary, Nelson Gibbs, is another Northrop alumni. The undersecretary at the Air Force, Peter Teets, was chief operating officer at Lockheed, while Michael Wynn, a Defense Department undersecretary, was a former senior vice president at General Dynamics. Donald Rumsfeld himself, the defense secretary, is an ex-director of the General Dynamics subsidiary, and Paul Wolfowitz, the Deputy Defense Secretary, acted as a consultant to Northrop. We have then, among the U.S. budget, major weapon systems, and the auditor and the GAO refer over and again to these weapon systems that have essentially undetermined budgets. For instance, the main warplane, the F-15 Strike Eagle and the F-16 Fighting Falcon. There was never any competition in the construction of these, and yet the budgets of $4 billion for a new fighter plane, the F-22, and $3 billion for a new Navy fighter, the Super Hornet, and $4 billion for research on the experimental Joint Strike Fighter continue to go on. The F-22, made by Lockheed Martin and Boeing, had huge cost overruns, so that any price that is ever given is empty. It's an empty price. Ralph?
Let's listen for a moment to the Comptroller General in his extraordinary speech before the National Press Club in Washington, D.C. on September 17th, 2003. And let's remind ourselves that David Walker, the Comptroller General of the United States, escalated this discussion to the level of not just the Department of Defense, but the entire federal budget, and issued what he called a wake-up call to my countrymen concerning the long-term financial crisis facing our country. Truth and transparency, the federal government's actual financial condition and fiscal outlook, by the Honorable David M. Walker. He states, I have entitled my remarks, Truth and Transparency, the Federal Government's Financial Condition and Fiscal Outlook. Let me start by reviewing the federal government's current financial status. The federal government fiscal 2002 annual financial report says a lot, but not enough. We had about $1 trillion in reported assets on September 30th, 2002. But there's bad news. We had $8 trillion in established liabilities. That left us with an approximate $7 trillion of accumulated deficit, or a little over $24,000 for every man, woman, and child in the United States. And the cash, based on budget numbers, is not good, and it is getting worse. The Congressional Budget Office estimates that the unified budget deficits in 2003 and 2004 will be $401 billion and $480 billion, respectively. These numbers are up significantly from 2002. We will incur about $157 billion in interest on publicly held federal debt in fiscal 2003. Even though interest rates are low on a relative basis, and CBO estimates excluding Social Security, the total deficit for the years 2003 and 2004 will rise to $644 billion. These numbers are making your head spin. Remember, they are all good, and they are all big, and they are all bad. Importantly, while we are starting off in a financial hole, what we really don't understand and what we really don't perceive is how deep it is. There are significant items not included as liability in the federal government's financial statements, trillions of dollars in non-marketable government securities and so-called trust funds. In the case of Social Security and Medicare trust funds, the federal government took in taxpayer money and spent it on other items without acknowledging them and replaces them with IOUs and no paper trail. Why aren't the amounts attributed to such activities shown as liabilities? Does this make sense? The current U.S. government liability figures do not adequately consider veterans' health care, benefit costs, Department of Veterans Affairs. There are amounts that total tens of trillions of dollars in discounted present value terms. Stated differently, they exceed $100,000 in additional burden for every man, woman, and child. And he says, beyond financial information, the federal government as a whole and each federal government and agency is unable to demonstrate what are results they achieve with resources and authorities they are given. And I'm not talking about performance measurement in a narrow sense. They are making an extraordinary difference in the inability to meet the needs of society. The bottom line is this. The federal government's financial statements and annual records do not give the American people any adequate picture of the government's actual performance and its true financial condition. The accountability failures serve to reinforce the absence of proper accounting and reporting practices. We are in a financial hole. We have serious financial management problems at the Department of Defense. We have a government unable to adequately account for intragovernmental transactions, a government unable to prepare consolidated financial statements. The bottom line is that there is little question that these deficits do matter. They are large, structural, recurring in nature, and our projected budget deficits are not manageable. This is not Karl Marx. This is not a revolutionary organization describing capitalism today. It is from the horse's mouth. The Honorable David M. Walker, September 22, 2003, Comptroller General, issues wake-up call to the National Press Club.
You are listening to Taking Aim with
Ralph Schoenman
and Maya Schoen, coming to you over WBAI 99.5 FM in New York and on the Internet over www.wbai.org. Our program today, Cooking the Books, Fraud and the Garrison State. Let's return to the Department of Defense. Now, you have to remember that these audits that we're talking about that are being done by the Inspector General are really only cursory audits because the Inspector General notes that it's impossible to carry out an actual audit of the Department of Defense. The record keeping is so shoddy. They're so unsubstantiated. And to return again to a March 7th, 2001 subcommittee, this time, a subcommittee on national security, veterans affairs, and international relations, which is part of the Committee on Government Reform of the House of Representatives. And the question was posed by the representative from Connecticut, Christopher Shays, who is thanking Mr. Walker of the GAO for being at this hearing. And he mentions that the Navy, based upon the report of the GAO, had no financial information on $7.8 billion of inventory that it keeps aboard ships, and that it wrote off $3 billion worth of in-transit inventory, that is, inventory that it moves from ship to ship. He also noted that six Department of Defense areas were deemed high risk in the report 4 years ago, and there has been no change. That the DOD Inspector General reported that of $6.9 trillion in the Pentagon accounting entries, $2.3 trillion were not supported by enough evidence to determine if they were true or not. He uses the word, quote, validity. And that at no time has the Department of Defense ever been able to pass an independent audit. So later on, the committee goes through some of the examples. In 1999, in the financial statement of the Department of Defense, there were 17,000 entries and adjustments at $7.6 trillion, producing a report that couldn't be audited. That means there was no basis for these numbers, for numbers valuing $7.6 trillion. Then, after much inquiry, they reduced that to $2.3 trillion that the Inspector General could find no documentation for. Again, the year after, the number was $4.5 trillion, with 2,000 entries producing $1.1 trillion that couldn't be verified in any way, shape, or form. So Congress is asks the GAO director, Mr. Walker, what would happen, quote, if you were running a company where you had this kind of inability to have supported documents? And Walker, in a mild way, states, at a minimum, I think my job would be at risk. If I was a public company, I'd say my stock price would probably tank. And then he's asked, would there be a lot of lawsuits? Walker responds, in all likelihood, yes. In all likelihood, yes. No accountability. But where is this money going? As Paul Granetto, Director of Defense Financial Auditing Service of the Office of Inspector General, stated in June 25, 2003, again reporting to the Subcommittee on Government Efficiency and Financial Management of the House Government Reform Committee on Defense Financial Management, he states explicitly that what we have going on with all these audits represents, quote, the tip of the iceberg, because as I mentioned before, all that the government is doing now is conducting minimal audits. And what Granetto says, that once they get enough documentation to actually do a real audit, what they expect to find is even worse. This has been going through Congress and congressional committees with people such as Dennis Kucinich on these committees. And yet this is what we get year in and year out. Acceptance of the fact that the Department of Defense and other departments of the United States government cannot account for trillions of dollars. Trillions of dollars that come from you and me and everyone else here in the United States. As Kathryn Austin Fitz reports, and she used to work for the Department of Housing and Urban Development and was a key figure in that department, she says that when you talk about these adjustments and unsupported accounting entries, you can be talking about money and assets that are missing or stolen or spent in violation of the law, unaccounted for or dispersed unlawfully. And she speculates. That's what she says. That she doesn't speculate. She concludes that it is possible that when you're talking about inventory transfers, you can have at any base, the person in charge of the software and the purchasing can be buying over and again the same inventory that already exists in the at that base. That's just one way that you can account for unsupported adjustments. In other words, keep on buying the same equipment so the money goes to your cronies. Now, that's one way of doing it. Another is given by the, it was elucidated in the St. Petersburg Times, a very important article that was published September 28, 2003, by Paul De La Garza, a staff reporter for the St. Petersburg Times. And you can see this article online. The Pentagon asked MacDill Special Operations to tuck an extra $20 million into its budget until it's needed. Now, although the numbers here, 20, and it was actually 40 million that was first requested by the Pentagon, are small. What the article concludes and what members of Congress conclude that this is probably the mechanism that goes on throughout the Department of Defense. And this was a request made by the Pentagon to the U.S. Special Operations Command at MacDill Air Force Base. And MacDill operates the overseas secret commando units. And what came out was a Pentagon request to hide $40 million, but MacDill agreed to hide $20 million from Congress. And the documents were obtained by the St. Petersburg Times. And these documents are emails. The agreement between Pentagon officials in Washington and the special operations officials in Tampa was spelled out in an email distributed by SOCOM controller Elaine Kingston to colleagues February 11, 2002. The article goes on. In the email, Kingston wrote that she received a call from someone in the Pentagon controller's office. The caller, who was not identified in the email, asked if the Special Operations Command could, quote, park $40 million of research and development money in its proposed budget for the 2003 fiscal year. They needed an answer in 5 minutes, Kingston wrote. The agency they had it parked with had a problem and couldn't do it. Parking money. That means cooking the books. She says, in other words, we can't say my original program was XX, but OSD parked some money in it, so now it's YY. She then said, we're doing a favor, which we hope will benefit the command if we should need additional research and development monies. Now, Special Operations did this, and it was exposed. And what was concluded by members of Congress was that if it was done by the Special Operations here in Tampa, that it's actually happening throughout all aspects of the Department of Defense, and that they're asking them to park these funds, to overstate their funds so that they can then siphon off the money and use it elsewhere, use it for secret operations. And that's what we're now going to discuss.
Before we do that,
the secret operations of the Pentagon.
Let me just mention the following, Maya. Here are some of the comments of the incredulous congresspersons who vote for the very budgets, notwithstanding what they hear. Senator Charles Grassley, the Republican of Iowa, the chairman of the Senate Finance Committee, on May 22, 2001, outlining what he calls fraud and mismanagement. forging work papers. I cannot overemphasize how bad this is. The Department of Defense, IG reports, do not meet GAGAS standards. They are unreliable. They are not credible. They demonstrate that other papers have been forged, and every report we receive is based upon this process. And here is a statement by Franklin C. Spinney, the staff analyst for the Department of Defense before the Subcommittee on National Security, Veterans Affairs, and International Relations Affairs. It states, the financial shambles is an essential ingredient of the process. This problem will not be solved by the Pentagon. It will only be perpetuated. And here is Gregory D. Kutz, Director of the Financial Management and Assurance of the General Accounting Office on March 22, 2002. Management reform? A bad joke on taxpayers and soldiers. It will not get any better. It is impossible to relate what they are spending to what they are getting in any reasonable way. And indeed, the conclusion is, these reports demonstrate that the Department of Defense violates specific provisions of appropriations law, and they are all these violations, illegal. Waste and corruption have reached levels, said Senator Fred Thompson in a statement called Government at the Brink. Waste and corruption have reached levels associated with third world countries. The description of the financial management system that we have heard is extraordinary. The Department of Defense budget was only around $290 billion, but we are being presented with over $4 trillion in accounting adjustment entries, $1 trillion wholly unsupported, 167 major financial management systems with inadequate standards, the disappearance in the general operations and maintenance accounts of vast sums of money. This is beyond belief, concludes the Inspector General and the congressmen who are hearing him. Senator Fred Thompson, these are not just bookkeeping errors. You cannot just call them changes to plug holes. The Albuquerque Journal observes the Pentagon owns $119.3 billion in ships and trucks and equipment, and they cannot verify anything because the records lack all supporting documentation.
Ralph, talk about documentation. According to Gregory Kutz, who you mentioned before, he's the director of the director at the GAO in charge of defense, state, and NASA financial management. And he noted that in the fiscal year 2000, Army managers lost accountability for and visibility of 62,000 missiles, rockets, and other ammunition that were stored at four test facilities. And this is an inventory that should have been at these facilities. And this is just, as we mentioned before, the tip of the iceberg. The Army is always noticing how much of its equipment it's losing. But it's also interesting to look at the increase in the size of this military-industrial budget that is the result of the so-called war on terror and how important it was. It was, as was stated in the strategy document developed by PNAC, for there to be a catalyst to increase the major funding. And let's look, though, at what are called the shadow expenses. Let's look at the secret budget and how this money is siphoned off and what it means to its spending. It turns out that according to laws that have been passed throughout the years in the United States, the Central Intelligence Agency can get secret slush funds backed up by the Department of Defense, and this has the approval of the U.S. Congress, to fund not only the CIA, but the intelligence organizations and secret research and development in the Department of Defense, what's called the black budget, the special shadow budgets. And the CIA can actually take this from any other department. In other words, it can go to Housing and Urban Development and say, I want to take from your budget a certain amount of money and assign it for CIA operations. And that way it keeps secret from not only Congress, but the most importantly, the people of the United States, what the actual budget is. On top of this, of course, you have the special operations of the CIA, the drug running, which was exposed with the Iran-Contra, the workings of Oliver North and Shackley and all the others, and what we have mentioned before in our programs about the opium running that was done with the cooperation of Osama bin Laden in Afghanistan, setting up the large opium distribution network of bringing heroin to the United States.
Which is the condition today in Afghanistan on a scale never before accomplished with the Northern Command, the warlords that are the satraps of American control. The opium and the drug market are an enormous financial resource. It's laundered in every major bank through the United States. You're talking, again, about trillions of dollars. And it is, in fact, very much akin to the disappearing accumulated trillions that are not accounted for which there is no adequate paper trail. Maya Janes, the noted British Defense International Review organization, examined the what you are describing here in search of the Pentagon's billion-dollar hidden budgets, how the U.S. keeps its spending under wraps. The existence, and this is by Bill Sweetman of Janes, on January 5th, 2000, the existence of a massive secret structure that can be described truly as a shadow military existing in parallel with the programs that the Department of Defense discloses in public is protected by a security system of great complexity. Two high-level commissions have reported on the system and concluded that it is immensely expensive. Its exact costs defy measurement, include systematic efforts to confuse, disinform the public, and to conceal what is taking place. And the Janes article states, as the Clinton administration begins its last year in office, it continues to spend on an unprecedented proportion of the Pentagon unacknowledged budget on black programs, that is, projects so highly classified they are never identified in public. The sums are vast. The unclassified version of the Pentagon's budget books, budget lines identified only by code names. The classified programs are covered by vague collective descriptions, and dollar numbers on these items are deleted. We now begin to understand this strange anomaly where the Department of Defense can't provide a receipt. It can't provide a paper trail. It can't provide, with its billions and hundreds of billions of dollars, an army of clerks to do a standard accounting process. It cannot take an elementary course in statistics and calculate what a missile purchased in 1970 would be worth in 2004 with current dollars. It cannot do any of the basic elementary financial work that is assumed by every mom-and-pop grocery store, let alone a Walmart. Formerly black projects within the DOD are known as unacknowledged, Janes continues. They are special access programs, and they dominate the budgets that are unofficial and not reported. 150 DOD-approved SAPs, SAPs inflated by the department and its branches, initiated by agencies such as the Central Intelligence Agency, the Department of Energy, and at least 11 other intelligence agencies operating under concealed Department of Defense budget allocations. And Janes continues, an unacknowledged SAP black program considered so sensitive that the very fact of its existence is core secret is defined in U.S. Air Force regulations as any item, progress, strategy, or element of information, the compromise of which would result in unrecoverable failure. In other words, revealing the existence of a black program undermines its military utility, and yet it is a vast element of stolen money and concealed funds. A more substantial limitation on oversight is that unacknowledged SAPs are not reported to full committees. At the Secretary of Defense discretion, the reporting requirements are waived. How many of the SAPs are unacknowledged and how many are waived is a question that few people can answer. 8 members of Congress, the Secretary of Defense, and the Deputy Secretary of Defense may have an inkling, we are informed by James. Within the United States Air Force, the SAPs form a shadow department alongside the white world programs. The separation of white and black programs is further emphasized. We will leave out the racist implications of these designations for the moment, but I'm quoting. The separation of white and black programs is further emphasized by arrangements known only as carve-outs. Classified programs taken from oversight by defense-wide security and contract oversight organizations. And Jane states, intentional cover is supported by 2 mechanisms inherent in the structure of these unacknowledged SAPs that result in the dissemination of plausible but false data and disinformation. Lying, in short.
Ralph, we have only to look at the Pentagon spending, the overt spending, and then what we have here is the covert spending and the displacement of funds. Boeing, Raytheon, and Lockheed Martin, the nation's big 3 weapons makers, their budgets went up 22% in just a few years. The spending on big-ticket weapons will grow at twice that, 53%. 53% while schools are closed, while students are without textbooks, while students are prevented from getting a college education because of tuition rises, because people cannot afford medical assistance or housing or any of the basics of daily life. Meanwhile, the money belonging to the people of the United States is going to Lockheed, to Boeing, to Raytheon, to DynCorp, to all the cronies of the people in power here in the United States. Open the books, full disclosure. But that is exactly the opposite of the response of Secretary of Defense Donald Rumsfeld. And in a speech he presented in his remarks at the Pentagon Monday, September 10th, 2001, the day before the attacks on the World Trade Center, DOD Acquisition and Logistics Excellent Week kickoff, bureaucracy to the battlefield, was his speech. And he decries the Pentagon bureaucracy, and what he says is the solution, and he acknowledges that they cannot substantiate trillions of dollars of their expenditures, but his solution is to privatize, to contract out, and to have even more secrecy within the Department of Defense financial analysis. In other words, to have fewer audits, not to open the books, not to disclose, but to have less disclosure. This is in keeping with fraud and the garrison state. Get people talking about fear and terror and things coming from outside of the United States rather than pinpointing the security apparatus, the garrison state itself, and Donald Rumsfeld, chief among them. Ralph?
Tim Weiner, the New York Times reporter, wrote a book called Blank Check, The Pentagon's Black Budget. And it goes a certain distance to explaining what we are really witnessing here with these vast sums of money and trillions of dollars that are acknowledged cumulatively to be unaccountable. It is siphoned, he says, through the CIA as the sole conduit of black budget funds. The legal challenges to the constitutionality of these black budgets is never made. Using as a case study the legal difficulties faced, the CIA functions as a vehicle for transferring out programs from every other governmental department for black operations for what becomes virtually a second Manhattan Project. The Black Budget funds a covert world of unaccountable intelligence activities, covert military intelligence operations, classified weapons programs. It has a unique legal ability among all U.S. government departments and agencies to generate funds through appropriation of all other federal government agencies and other sources without regard, and I'm quoting, without regard to any provisions of law, without regard to the intent behind congressional appropriations. And the key to this, the key to uncovering the true size of these black budgets, what Wiener concludes, are the chronic accounting anomalies in the DOD budget that reveal trillions of dollars being siphoned by the CIA into black operations that are never on the books.
Ralph, do you want to conclude?
We've described the kleptocracy of the gangster state. We've commented on the addiction of capitalism to arms production in ever-increasing doses. We've talked about the financial crisis of imperialism that this dependence on military allocation represents. We are here in the presence of the specific, concrete delineation of the cannibalizing of our infrastructure, of the destruction of our social services, of the perpetuation of a system so degenerate that it must not only conceal what it does in the vast trillions of dollars, but the consequences of this are devastation, pauperization, and the destruction of the working people of the world. That is the meaning of this fraud. That is the underlying context of the fraudulent operations of the garrison state.
You are listening to Taking Aim with
Ralph Schoenman
and Maya Schoen. You can reach us at 707-552-9995 or write to us at takingaim@wbai.org. We have an internet site, www.takingaim.info, where you can find an archive of our programs. If you would like a CD or an audio cassette, they are available from us. Please write to us at the address I gave you, or telephone us, or write to us at Taking Aim, P.O. Box 6345, Vallejo, that's V-A-L-L-E-J-O, California, 94591. Our program today, Cooking the Books, Fraud and the Garrison State. We'll be with you next week. You know, I finally get it beat up. I do like it all. You know, if it can't get it beat up, I do like it all. Tikin do di ni ay, tatan sa chinda karo, tatan sa kilo nok mi walay.